everybody. Welcome back to Give Me the Bible, the program brought to you by the Mineral Springs Church of Christ, in which we invite you to open the Bible and study it with us and learn more about what God would have us to do and what He would have us to be as we learn how to try and please Him and serve Him here in this life. My name is Pastor Van Strafeden with the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. I'm here along with Pastor Mike, who's also with the Mineral Springs Church. Thank you for being here, Mike.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
And I'm also here with Alex Newman from Norcross, Georgia, who's our preaching intern this summer. Thank you for being here, Alex.
Good to be back.
Thanks. Well, thank you for joining me. And today we're going to pick up kind of where we left off in a previous topic that we did before, which is the subject of faith. But I want to extend our examination of Hebrews chapter 11 a little further. Last time we talked about faith in terms of defining it and figuring out why we need it and what it would do for us. But Hebrews chapter 11 goes on a little further and talks about why faith is important and some examples of people in the Bible who had faith and what faith did for them. Now, before we get into that discussion, I want to tell you a little bit more about the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. We meet at 6403 Waxhaw Highway. That's North Carolina Route 75, just west of beautiful downtown Mineral Springs, North Carolina. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, 6 p.m. for worship on Sunday, and also on Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Bible study. You can contact us through our webpage at mineralspringschurchofchrist.com. We have information about our church. We also have a way to contact us with email. If you'd like to send in a question or a comment about our program, something you'd like us to cover on the air, or you have a question about the Bible, we'd love to hear from you. Please contact us. Now, let's go into our topic for today, which is delving deeper into the subject of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Now, guys, the first part of that sentence, you have to believe that He exists. That's pretty simple to understand. I get that, because if you're going to draw near to God, you better believe that He exists. I mean, why waste any time? Mm-hmm. Who's going to try to draw near to a God that doesn't exist, right? But the second part of that is, I think, the part that really challenges each of us. That's the part that we have to work on the most, because that's the part that says that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. I wonder, gentlemen, if what that's challenging us to do, when we talk about faith being a conviction about the unseen, the part about God's reward is that it doesn't really happen so much here in this life. Isn't that the problem with that verse? Alex, isn't that the problem?
Yeah, that's absolutely an issue, which is why faith is being brought up in this way in the first place. Faith needs evidence to happen, but it's also the belief in something that you can't see at this point and you can't see coming. But right here, the Hebrew writer is already trying to tell us that there's two parts to having faith in God right now. You have to first believe He exists, but then you have to take action into acting on this existence. You need to do what He says in the Bible. You can't just simply, you know, be stagnant in what you believe about Him.
Sure. And what's the motive for that action?
The motive is the reward.
Sure.
What is the reward going to be? That God promises a home in heaven. Ultimately, that is our reward. We have rewards here, I believe, as well.
Sure.
With our faith. But ultimately, we're looking at heaven as our final destination. And so that's the motivation for my faith.
Okay. And you mentioned something that I want to throw in real quick here, and that is there are benefits to serving God here in this life. We get additional friends we might not have had. We avoid various pitfalls and problems. Somebody who is serving God and, say, following the moral values of the Bible, well, they're not going to have, let's say, the problems of, say, a life of alcoholism or drug abuse, because they know better than stay away from that stuff. So they don't get into some of the issues that people have who are serving God. But the real challenge here is that sometimes we don't get rewarded in this life, or at least not the way that we might expect. Sometimes we serve God and we're still poor. Sometimes we serve God and we still have car accidents. We still have sickness. We still get cancer, or we still have heart failure or diabetes, whatever it may be. And we may say, well, I served God, but I didn't get the reward. Where is it? And that's the challenge that you mentioned, Alex, and that you mentioned, Mike, and that is that it's off in the distance. It's a reward, but the ultimate reward, even if we get some benefits here in this life, but even if we don't, the ultimate reward and the motivation is that home that's off in the distance that we cannot see. And that's the challenge of faith, is it's about things you can't see. That's what makes it hard. There are some examples here in Hebrews 11. And the Hebrew writer doesn't just define what faith is and say it's important. He actually goes back into Old Testament history and picks up examples of people, men and women in the Old Testament, who had faith and shows what it was and what they did. Let's talk about the first one of those that he gives, which is in chapter 11 of verse 4, where he says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he received approval as righteous, God bearing witness by accepting his gifts. He died, but through his faith he is still speaking." Mike, what did Abel do that indicated his faith?
He obeyed God. He realized that that was what was important, acting on his faith for God to tell him what he needed to do first and then following up on that.
Okay. Alex, isn't that what faith is in terms of our relationship with God? Isn't that what faith does for us as far as motivating us to do what God has asked us to do?
Absolutely. It's a twofold thing with faith. You have your evidence and your belief, and then you have the action that you take based off of that, the way that you live based off of that. And having Abel, you know, receiving a commandment from God of the way he wanted to be sacrificed to, and then he acts upon that in a manner that his brother did not. And you see right from the beginning that faith plays a huge part in just the life of the believer and what God truly wants. And that's one of the first stories in the Bible where we see this concept happening.
Sure. Now, the book of Genesis, if you go back and read it, in Genesis chapter 4, it really doesn't explain in great detail what went wrong. Cain offers a sacrifice to God, Abel offers one. Cain's sacrifice is accepted. Abel's is accepted. But it doesn't say really in any detail why. And the Hebrew writer's commentary here is the closest we get to an explanation of it, and that is that by faith Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice. There was something about Abel's faith that motivated him to do it in a way that was pleasing to God. Whereas Cain did not have the kind of faith in God, didn't believe that God would reward those who seek him, which is what the point the Hebrew writer is making here. If it really doesn't matter what we do in response to God, if we can just do any old thing and then move on with our lives, and that seems to be how people, well, Cain for sure, and perhaps many people think, well, what difference does it make? I'll just do any old thing and I'll move on. But it really takes a faith that things matter to God and that we have to diligently seek him, find out what he wants from us, and then give him what he wants, rather than saying, well, I'll just do whatever and move on. Isn't that the fundamental problem, Mike?
It is. And when you look at God, God hasn't left us blind. He has given us all the information we need. He's told us what he expects. He tells us what we are to give back to him and how we are to live. And so with that goal of heaven out there, with that ahead of us, we try to live in that way that we'll attain heaven. We're playing God's game in a sense, so we have to go by God's rules.
Okay,
if you want to put it that way.
Okay. Alex, doesn't that mean that we have to take some like this phrase here that we have to seek him, or your Bible may say diligently seek him? The word seek there is a little more than just look around. It has to do with applying some. What does yours say there, Mike? 11:6. Does it say do we have to diligently seek him?
Yes.
Okay, and that's the substance of that word that's used there is that there is some effort to be put into it, not in the sense that we're earning salvation, but Alex, follow up here. Isn't it the sense that what does it mean to diligently seek him?
Yeah. We should stop seeing Christianity as this theology and religion, but more as a relationship with our God.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
So here, you know, we have an example of you don't go into a relationship seeking to please exclusively yourself and, you know, assuming what the other person wants to be pleasured by them. But rather, we should be seeking God's approval in all the things that we do because we are living to respect him.
Okay, we'll talk about that a little more after the break. When we come back, you're listening to Give Me the Bible, the program brought to you by the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. Hi, this is Pastor Vance with the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. New Testament Christianity, can it be found today? It certainly can. The Mineral Springs Church is trying our very best to practice Christianity the way the apostles taught it in the New Testament times. We invite you to come join us
We meet at 6403 Waxaw Highway, that's North Carolina Route 75, just outside the beautiful downtown Mineral Springs, North Carolina. We meet on Sundays at 10 o'clock for Bible study, 11 o'clock for worship, Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. It's a warm, friendly congregation, and we invite you to come study and worship with us.
And we're back with Give Me the Bible, the program brought to you by the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. We'd love to hear from you. Join us at our website, www.mineralspringschurchofchrist.com. You can contact us there by email. We'd love to hear your questions or comments about our program. If you have a question you'd like to be answered on the air, we'd love to hear from you. Alex, right before the break, you were talking about the idea of faith and diligently seeking Him. Develop that further. What does it mean really to diligently seek Him?
Like I was saying before, what we have with God, it should be like a relationship. You aren't going to go into someone that you want to appreciate and truly show, and then give them exclusively what you think they would want. In our relationship with God, He has set rules and examples of things that He wants from us, and the way that we should truly honor Him and everything. So we should be willing to give Him what He wants from our relationship. And you can see that in Abel and Cain's story, obviously, that Abel is willing to bring God what he wants and really is trying to seek out God in his relationship, diligently seeking Him. And Cain is rather willing to do what he wants to do instead of what God wanted him to do.
Okay, so the problem there really is one, when we talk about Cain and Abel, or we talk about us today, it's a question, if we just talk about worship, it's a question of, I'm going to worship God the way I think that I think God ought to be happy with. So I'll do what I want to do because I think God should accept it. As opposed to, I'm going to find out what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do that. What a big difference in that. Isn't that what you're getting at, Alex? Mm-hmm. We wouldn't treat somebody else that way, would we?
Absolutely. It's just so interesting that, you know, relationships that we would feel like we wouldn't treat other people in that way, but then when it comes to God, we would rather self-serve and, you know, impose our will upon God rather than understand. I think it has to do a lot with His love and His compassion for us, that we believe that almost we can get away with anything and He's just going to love us anyway. But we have to understand that that love also comes with the condition that we are truly respectful of what He wants from us in our lives.
Who gets to decide how we worship God, Mike? Do we get to decide, or does God get to decide?
Well, you can certainly decide for yourself.
We can. Is that wise?
But if you're worshiping God, you have to worship God in His way. God's told us how to worship Him, as He has all throughout history. He told the people of the Old Testament exactly what was required of them in worship. And so He has done the same thing today in telling us in His Word, through examples, through direct words. You know, we can look in there and see what they did in the first century church. Mm-hmm. And so we have the examples there of what they did, and we can base our worship on that as well if we want to be pleasing to Him.
But don't you think it's enough, Mike? Isn't it enough to be sincere? A lot of people believe that. They would say, well, if you're sincere and you show up, shouldn't God accept anybody who's sincere?
Well, you can be sincere in anything you do, so that doesn't really work. That opens the door to anything, and God just doesn't allow everything in. We have to go by what He says. So just being sincere, it doesn't always work.
Okay. We don't really know. Alex, you wanted to add something?
Yeah. From a worldly standpoint, even, if you take a terrible football player, just because he has the biggest heart on the team, you're not going to put him on the field because he just has a huge heart. You're going to want someone who's going to be able to perform and to do well and help the team succeed. And God wants the same from us. He wants team players who are willing to, you know, not only bring the heart, but also bring the work ethic and everything to the plate for Him.
Okay. So we talk about Cain and Abel. We talked about the fact that there's kind of two ways to worship God. One of them is by faith. The other is not so much by faith, by whatever we feel like doing. And that's the story of Cain and Abel. That's why Cain was disapproved by God and Abel was approved. And the Hebrew writer even makes the point that Abel's example, even speaks down through history, is still speaking Through faith, he is still speaking because his example was, I'm going to do whatever God asks of me to do. I'm going to worship God the way he asks of me to worship him. And I'm not going to worry about what I feel like or what my desire is or my way of thinking. I know I'm branching off a little bit here, but we'll get back on track here in a moment. But this just kind of occurred to me. Isn't that one of the fundamental problems of people's approach to the Bible? Is that we think that our opinion matters. We think that this is, you know, if God would have asked me, this is how I would have done it. And we tend at some point to say, well, this is what I want to do, or this is what my church wants to do, or this is what we feel like doing. And we don't sometimes stop to ask the question, well, but what did God say in his word about it? Isn't that really what matters, Mike?
It is. And, you know, it may sound harsh to some, but God didn't ask my opinion. when he decided what we needed to do to worship him and to worship him properly. And so we take what God said do. We can have all the guidebooks that man can write, but if they don't agree with what the scriptures say, they're not worth anything because God gets to direct the worship that is offered to him.
Okay. Alex, you wanted to add something?
Yeah. There's also in the Old Testament, a story about Jonah, which I believe a lot of us have heard and understand. But, you know, you have the example of someone who takes what God has told him to do and then tries to do the opposite because he doesn't feel like doing it, because he feels like, you know, that's not applicable to me almost, even though he was spoken directly to him. And so often I feel like we do that with God's word, is that we're so focused on what we want that we're willing to take it and go anywhere else with it instead of doing what God has commanded us.
And that ultimately is really a question of faith. Do you believe, when this is all over, do you believe that God rewards those who diligently seek him? Or do you think that we can just do whatever we want? And that's the question. Do we have the right to just do whatever we want? Or is God going to reward those who seek him and find out what he wants them to do and try to follow that? I can't help but stop here and think about when you talked about applying our own wisdom. I have a little grandson who sometimes likes to do things, and he wants this and he wants that. And you know, as a grandfather, I try to uphold some good discipline for him and hold some high standards and not let him just get away with everything. But every once in a while, Grandpa is like the Supreme Court. You know, I can overrule bad decisions. If Mama says he can't have that candy or that toy, sometimes Grandpa comes in and says, well, I think it'll be okay, and I'll just overrule those bad decisions that are made at the lower level. But I wonder if we treat God that way sometimes. Do we say, well, yeah, I know he said this in his word, but I think it'd be all right to do it some other way. And we act like we can overrule God. Like he has to just accept it because we thought something else was better.
Yeah, and last time I cited the scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5 that in part says, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. And so if we want our faith to be what it should, we can't base it on what man says. It has to be based on what God has said.
Okay. So we talked about Cain and Abel and the fact that there was a difference in faith was ultimately, and that faith was expressed, how? It was expressed by their actions. You could tell what kind of faith Cain had by his action. His action was to just offer any old sacrifice that he thought would be okay. Turns out it wasn't. You could tell what kind of faith Abel had by the kind of sacrifice he offered. He found out what God wanted, and he did it that way. And that was a demonstration of his faith. And so that is the example and the role model that the Hebrew writer is holding up for all of us to say, this is what we need to be. We need to be the kind of people like Abel who would, as the Hebrew writer puts it, diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6, find out what he wants us to do, and then do our very best to meet God's expectations, to meet to find out what his commandments are, to meet those. And again, it's not in the sense that we're trying to earn salvation, because you can't earn salvation. If we did everything that we could to try and accomplish everything that we could in this life, it wouldn't be enough to earn salvation. That's not the point. The point is, what kind of a mindset do we have in responding to God's commandments? That's the point we're trying to get at when we talk about a saving faith, when we talk about a faith of those who diligently seek him. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. We'll come back and talk about more examples in Hebrews chapter 11 of faith when we come back.
Give Me the Bible is brought to you by the Mineral Springs Church of Christ that meets at 6403 Waxaw Highway, that's North Carolina Route 75, just west of beautiful downtown Mineral Springs, North Carolina. It's a congregation of New Testament Christians that invites you to meet with us and worship with us and study the Bible with us whenever you can. We look forward to seeing you at the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. Thank you for joining us on Give Me the Bible.
And welcome back to Give Me the Bible, the program brought to you by the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. 6403 Waxaw Highway, that's North Carolina Route 75, just west of beautiful downtown Mineral Springs, North Carolina. We'd love to see you and meet with you. We'd also love to hear from you. MineralSpringsChurchOfChrist.com, where you can contact us with any questions or comments about our program. If there's a question you'd like us to answer on the air, we'd love to hear from you. Mike and Alex are with me. This is Pastor Vance, again with the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. We were talking Hebrews chapter 11 and the subject of faith. Mike and Alex, before the break, we were talking about Cain and Abel. In the last segment of our show, I want to talk about Noah, because he is the next example of faith that the Hebrew writer talks about. And that comes up in verse 7 of chapter 11, where he says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, took heed and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which comes by faith." I want to start my analysis of this verse, and you all can jump in. The first thing I notice about this is that Noah is warned of God concerning events as yet unseen. And that was one of the key elements that we talked about in the last time when we were talking about faith, was that faith involves things that are unseen. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis, the story of Noah is that Noah is basically, he and his family, the only decent people left on earth, and everybody else is not serving God, and they're living wickedly, and God has decided to bring this great flood upon the earth, which is coming. It's coming if it's a few years off, it's some time away in the distance, and God reveals to Noah that it's coming. There's never been such an event before, but now Noah is told, here's this great event that's going to happen. You need to prepare for it by building this ark. What's Noah going to do about it? And that's the question, and that's the question of Noah's faith. What does he do about it? Well, what does he do about it, and what does that have to do with faith, gentlemen?
You know, the instruction or the warning at this point is from God. That should give a lot of credibility. Noah is a righteous man. He believes in God. He has faith. And so God warns him about these things that are about to happen. And yet it says that he had to do these things by faith. He had not, as you said, had not witnessed anything like what was about to happen. And he had to believe God that the things that he said was true. And he had not witnessed the destruction of the earth like it was going to come. And he had realized that God was serious about this, that he had to have faith that God was going to come through with what he did. That moved him to obey God in, as it says, the preparing of the ark. And if you go back into Genesis 6, you know that God was very specific in the preparing of the ark, and he had to follow all those things to the letter. So Noah had a great faith beforehand, and he had to use that faith looking ahead to what God had said was coming.
In some sense, wasn't this a test of his faith?
Sure. It would test his faith greatly, because Noah could have said, well, nothing like this has happened before. There's no evidence to show that it's going to happen ever, except God's telling me this. Well, yeah. You know, he could have gone with it or not.
Sure.
And so, yeah, his faith was tested greatly.
Mm-hmm. This also, this passage also shows the difference between those who are faithful and those who are unfaithful. Like Mike was talking about, you have Noah, he has the ability to either choose whether he's going to believe God, what God has said, or what he, or just not accept it because of no previous evidence other than it's God's word. But you also have the people who are around him who are mocking him because, you know, they've never seen anything like this. The dude's building a giant random boat in the middle of nowhere for no purpose that they can understand, but it is for God's purpose. And that contrast extends to today. We understand that people who have faith in God are going to be mocked for what they believe because other people see, you know, limited or if any evidence for it, and they choose to accept exclusively what they can see. So the contrast to Noah is still seen today.
Okay, now you raised a really good point, Alex, and that is that if we have that kind of saving faith, that kind of faith that Noah had, it will make us different from the rest of the world. And that also adds to the challenge of faith. It's one thing, it's enough to say, all right, I'm going to believe in this event that's off the distance that I've never seen and don't understand, because it's never happened before. And on top of that, in addition to believing that, I'm also going to deal with people around me thinking I'm silly or stupid or crazy because they don't understand that thing that's off the distance. And so they think, well, look at this guy. Look what he's doing. He's different from everybody else. What's wrong with him? And I'm going to get criticized. I'm not going to be popular. I'm going to be looked down on by others. And to take it even further, it's interesting the phrase that the Hebrew writer uses here when he talks about Noah. Not only did he construct the ark for the saving of his household, by this he condemned the world. Isn't it true, gentlemen, that very often when people do what's right, not necessarily intending to, but their actions condemn others, don't they?
Yeah, it shows, you know, where God stands on things. And, you know, it's not me that's condemning. It's God that's ultimately condemning them for their sinful ways. But through my actions in following what God says, it shows that to be true.
Yeah.
There's also an understandability with a lot of people that when you act in a way that, you know, they don't, they understand that you're acting in a better manner somehow. So, you know,
their conscience may be convicted at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't really understand. They grasp the concept of morality, but they don't really understand, you know, exactly why you're doing these things and why it makes them feel almost, you know, inadequate and stuff like that. So
or feel condemned.
Yeah. And it still plays, it played a part back in Noah's time and played it throughout the Bible, and it plays it now where we continue to see people who are righteous or looked down upon even because they show this idea that the world just doesn't approve of or doesn't understand.
Okay. Well, and to put this together, if you think about the situation, put yourself back in that scenario. Noah is building this gigantic boat that nobody understands. If they ask him, well, Mr. Noah, why are you constructing this big old boat here? What's up with that? What does he have to say in response? He has to say, well, it's because the world is evil and it's going to be destroyed. Oh, are you saying, that we're bad? Is that what you're saying? So there's going to be that conversation, and they're going to feel condemned. And in fact, when it's over, his actions do, by example, not Noah condemning them, but like you said, it's God's word is what's convicting and showing they're wrong. But that's going to be embarrassing for Noah to deal with, isn't it?
It can be. And, you know, it kind of brought to my mind the idea of peer pressure. And, you know, that may be another program out in the future somewhere. But I'm sure there was a great peer pressure there. The people ridiculing him. In putting it in today's terms, bullying Noah into trying to go their way and trying to give up on this idea that God's given him about preparing an ark. What's that all about? There's not been enough water around here to float that thing all this time, and now you're building an ark based on some abstract idea out there that the world's going to be destroyed by a flood. They didn't even know what a flood was.
Yeah,
and so here's Noah out here doing this just because God says, you know, this is what you need to do for the saving of your household.
It's also hard, you know, looking back now in our time, where you're going to have to, if you're going to truly convict people, you're going to have to tell them that they are living in sin, that this is the life they're living isn't appropriate and isn't what God wants from them. And that's a hard conversation to have always. And, you know, it was especially hard for Noah at this time, being the only person on the planet who was serving God and wanting to do what's right. So the concept of, you know, having to tell people they're wrong is going to be a difficult concept absolutely all the time, because, you know, coming from your mouth, it makes them feel like you're the one coming at them and telling them they're wrong.
But you're the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But they don't have the complete understanding that it's God that has set the rules and the standards, and you have to abide by those.
Okay. Well, there's a whole lot more there we could talk about. We'll try and maybe we'll pick up there and keep going in our next discussion on Give Me the Bible. Thank you all so much for listening to our program today. This has been Give Me the Bible, brought to you by the Mineral Springs Church of Christ. I'm Pastor Vance, along with Pastor Mike and our preaching intern, Alex. Thank you all for being with us. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on our program today.
It's a pleasure.
All right. And we'll see you next time on Give Me the Bible.